That's a proposal for our website and also to post it around.
I'd call this meeting to order at 6:01. Roll call, please. Chairman Rogan, here. Vice Chair Cushing Adams.
Here.
Director Woods.
Here.
Director Duquette.
Here.
Secretary Scheifele is here. All present.
Thank you. Want to welcome everyone for coming tonight. First thing on the agenda is the airport manager candidates. The board has met with 13 different candidates over the last couple of weeks. We've narrowed it down to two candidates, Maria Burns, who's over here, and Chris Lynch, over here. And the format, what will take place is each candidate will have approximately 10 minutes to tell us about themselves, their background, and then we'll open it up to question and answers that are written. We have about seven or so questions, and then the candidates will leave each independently, and we will then have public input on the agenda of the next item. And by coin toss earlier today, Maria is our first candidate, so we'll ask Chris to please excuse yourself.
You're listening in. Maria, do you want to play the chair first?
Is it okay if I stand?
Yes.
Is that okay? As you said, my name is Maria Burns, and I've basically come out of the woodwork. I'm from the South. I've lived there my entire life. We moved here in May. So I'm new to the area, but so far I've been really impressed, especially we've been around Nashville a lot. I have my husband is also a pilot, and we have three sons. We love the area. I started my career as a grant writer and was promoted to proposal coordinator. So in terms of writing, editing, reading grants, I think that I could really bring some experience to this position. I then moved into contracting, grant writing with various companies, CNN, Turner Broadcasting, the University of Tennessee, the NIH, and things like that. From there, I met, who became my mentor, Mr. Borland. I started a biotech company with him. We then took public. And I was the senior vice president of that company for several years. I was fortunate and retired out of that. My husband and I started our own aviation management company, which we've been running for several years. We sell and acquire aircraft. We also manage aircraft, obviously, that's in the title. And during this whole time, I got my all my pilot ratings, and I'm a commercial pilot, multi-engine instrument. I got my seaplane rating too, so that was fun. So anytime I can fly, I'm out flying. And I worked as a contract pilot for a while as well. So in terms of my experience with aviation, I've been at an airport either getting my pilot's license, working with customers, clients for about 15 years now. So I think I have a lot of experience in aviation that would lend itself to this position. Most importantly, I think that I have experience across a spectrum that I think that this position in particular requires, and that is I'm a business owner, I'm a pilot, I've written grants, I have experience taking a company public, raising capital, marketing, so I think that I have an experience that that reaches across something that this needs, that this airport needs. At least that's been my experience in short time that I'm here. The reason that I wanted to apply for this position is because I noticed some things that could have been improved upon that I thought that I could help with. And that's why I applied for the job. I really believe that my experience could help out. And that's basically it. I mean, I'm sure I'm leaving out a lot, I'm sure, but I'm happy to answer any specific questions about my experience that you might have.
Well, let's go to the first question.
Sure.
And what is the first thing you would do as manager?
The first thing I would do as manager is make sure that I'm getting familiar with the people at the airport. I think that reaching out to those most interested in the airport, right, who have the most interest and who want to have a say, that they're going to get their chance to have that say. I want to make sure that as a manager, I don't come in and just start, you know, enforcing regulations without really getting to know somebody first. I really want to get to know the people immediately around me, right, the people that I'm going to be working with day to day. From there, I want to introduce myself to everyone and anyone that I can at the airport and really make it a point to listen and to gain some perspective, because I think that's what the people here are going to really give me, is perspective. Simply because I'm not from this area doesn't mean that I don't have a lot of experience that I think could help, particularly in marketing, but I'll need help, and I really want to get to know the people that will be helping me and who I will be serving, because ultimately as manager, I am a servant to the community, to the airport, to the people and the businesses here. So that's what I want to do, is get to know people.
What is your vision for the future of the airport?
I think that Nashville Airport, and especially because of its location, is really primed to be in a better position than it is. And I'm not going to, you know, start being negative or I'm not going to make unrealistic claims either. I think that we can just be better, and what I mean is we can attract more direct traffic. I think that we can improve upon what we already have. I think that these buildings need to be occupied, and that the population that we've lost with Daniel Webster can be brought back. I think that there needs to be consistent events that are hosted, and that the public knows about at all times. I've noticed that social media, even though that's not the only marketing tool, it is a sort of a 101 kind of thing that we need to improve upon, so that the community is always, that they feel connected with the airport, with what's going on, right? So we never want to lose the community in whatever we're doing, right? So there are some pretty bad examples, I think, like Santa Monica and California and Naples and Florida. When they lost the community, the airport quickly declined up. So the future of the airport, I think, depends on our communication with the community. Once we get everybody on board, I really think that my vision is just a continuous improvement on what we have, because I think we have a lot.
Business retention and development is essential to continued success of Nashville Airport. Please discuss the top three priorities which you feel should be implemented or undertaken to retain existing business and attract new aircraft for basing in Nashville.
Sure, that's a detailed question. And it's a great question. I will try to address it as best I can. So I think that we need to keep the businesses already here happy. That's number one. right? I don't want to lose anybody. In other words, in trying to go and get other businesses, I don't want to lose who I already have, okay? That's my top. That's one of the answers to the question. I won't try to repeat. Number two, I want to attract some jet traffic. To do that, I'm going to need, like, the icing. I'm going to need, some nice hangar space. I'm going to need some things, some detail things. But that's another thing that I want to do. I want to attract some business jets to not just come through Nashua, but be based out of Nashua. And I think that I can convince them to do that because I think that Nashua's location, its proximity, just Nashua itself, right? We again has been named one of the top 50 places to live. It's like number 16, I think, according to Money Magazine in 2016. So I think that I have a good case for why people want to be based out of Nashua. Number three, I'm going to start advertising in a different way. I'm going to give you an example of something I noticed on the website. And it's not a bad thing when you advertise, for example, 50% off for new tenants, tie-down. I think it's advertisement. What's wrong with that? People that are going to be new to tie-downs probably aren't going to be looking on the website. So how do you get the information out? So the other thing I'm going to be focused on is how to get information disseminated, right, in the way that it's supposed to be, whether it's through social media, whether it's through email blasts, whether it's through mailers. Excuse me. I'm going to make sure that that the right information is getting into the right hands to continue to attract new business to the airport. Also, not like part of the other two, but the other thing that I think is maintaining a good relationship with like AOPA, because like the Gourmet Challenge, I think that just took place and stuff like that would be, an excellent opportunity. So stuff like that, but we need to always be in sort of AOPA space. They need to know who we are in order to get considered for things like that. Okay, so that's just three things, I think.
What are your store management and marketing skills?
Store management?
Storm.
Oh, storm management. I was like, no store management. So store management, I'll address straight away. I have not managed an airport before, but I have managed a group of people through due diligence. It was a kind of a storm. It wasn't a snowstorm, but it was the Securities and Exchange Commission. It was the FDA. I have every confidence in my ability to manage a storm-related incident. I know that there's been some issues, and the reason I know that there's been some issues is because we were trying to fly a King Air, and the airport shut down. My husband and I were trying to fly a King Air in, and we couldn't. We had to go into Manchester. In my mind, it was unacceptable. I think that what we need to do is obviously have some better training. People need to be on call. People need to know that they're on call and that they are responsible. And I know that that would be my responsibility. In order to manage a storm, at the end of the day, I need to be the one, responsible for making sure the runways are clear, making sure the right reports get out. My marketing experience is probably my core strength, the core strength that I bring to this. I'm not sure storm management and marketing go together, but come to Nashua, we manage storms. But that's actually probably my biggest strength. A lot of biotech companies fail. And by the way, the CEO of MassCorp, obviously that runs Boston Logan, Thompson was also in the biotech field. I feel like I'm in good company. He was the CEO of a biotech company. It is extremely competitive. You cannot blink. You've got to always be on your game. Always know who your consumers are, who your competition is, in order to market in the right way. So I'm not just going to be sending out an email blast just willy-nilly. I think that you have to just have a focused, targeted audience and purpose behind every message. And whether it's writing and editing, whether it's creating mailers, whether it's doing the kind of research that identifies the right clients and the right message for those clients. That's, I think, my biggest challenge.
Do you only follow rules and regulations as written, or do you temper each issue with common sense and what's best in each case?
I commend you for answering it for me. I want to be clear about a couple of things. I've dealt with the FDA, I've dealt with the FAA, I've dealt with the FCC. I've dealt with some people that expect you to give answer A rather than answer B, right? But I think that you have to have common sense in this position and know that you are going to need some flexibility. I cannot give you a specific example as to what that would be right now today. I only know that it will happen and that I will be forced to make that decision. I have every confidence that I can. I'm not going to be dishonest and say, no, I'm a strict rule and regulations person. I do respect the rules and regulations. And in so much as you are an airport manager, you had better do that. But there will arrive occasions, and because ultimately, and especially if it gets back to me, if it's going to be on my shoulders, then I will shoulder that responsibility.
Do you consider yourself a proactive or reactive type of manager?
Again, I think it depends on the situation. Historically, throughout my career, I've been very proactive. But I want to distinguish being proactive from micromanaging. Because I'm very proactive in terms of what I do. If I want to make a marketing plan, it's done. I just go do it. I don't need anybody to tell me how. I'll just go do it, and then I'll come back to the community, to the board, and ask for help in making revisions, etc. I'm very proactive. I'm very self-motivated. I think I'm pretty creative, and I like to do things on my own and to be given that space. However, when it comes to those that, you know, I'm managing, I'm not a great micromanager. I expect that if a report is due, for example, that it will be done. And then when it's not done, I become reactive, and I say, okay, why wasn't it done? It might be a perfectly good explanation, you know, kid got sick. But we still need to talk about it or something because you should have come to me, you should have told me what was going on. You know, I'll react to the situation accordingly. But generally, I'm proactive. Long-winded answer. But there it is.
Will the airport be open to using empty open areas for income-producing non-aviation events like classic car shows and the start and finish line of a race?
Perhaps, but let me tell you this. Just like on social media where you want to develop some voice, right? You're the kind of organization that puts out inspirational messages, or you're the kind of organization that's really funny and tells a, you know, winning story or something. You want to develop a certain voice, and that's generally true for an organization. You don't want to try to be everything to everybody. So my preference would be for as much aviation-related activity as possible. Would it be cool, and especially if you're in a car show, I'd like to do a car show on the airport, but we have to sort of take those considerations as they came up, because I think that it's important to keep consistency in your message, in your goals. And by the way, the goals for the airport, just generally, and I'll just take one more minute, but I think it's important. You know, we say we want to attract you know, business jet traffic, but I think that our goals are going to need to be, you know, I already mentioned this, they need to be realistic, they need to be specific, and they need to have a timeline, a deadline. So I know that's just off topic in terms of the question, but I think that that's another thing that I bring to this position is setting goals that are realistic, specific, and have a deadline. And I like working with people in order to achieve those. And again, I hope that we can inspire enough aviation-related activities where we're not really too focused on those kinds of considerations.
How would the airport manager address
a hazard created by non-aviation guests being out on the ramp?
I'm not sure if this relates to the first question in terms of if, because I want to make sure I understand the question part of answering it. If we had a non-aviation related activity and then there was damage because of that,
I don't think that was the question. The question was sometimes businesses bring people up to fly. I mean, the businesses still fly, and then there are guests that are still wandering around, and I think some people are concerned about that.
Oh, wandering guests on the airport. Then I would, because this actually happened to me, I flew into a little airport once, and there were joggers randomly on the airport, and I didn't see them because it was dust until they were right on my wing. Side note, but I would address this issue in the same way that I would address any potential conflict. I want to preserve the image of the airport. I want to preserve the relationship with people who may be potential long-term clients. So I'm not going to go and yell, get off my land, or whatever. I am going to approach them and say, hey, come with me this way. I'm going to approach them. I'm going to let them know that what's happening is inappropriate, but in a way that's going to, hopefully help them come back to the airport, not in a way that wants, where they'll leave and never want to come back and potentially say nasty things about Nashua. Sometimes you are going to have to be more direct and tougher with some people, and I'm certainly capable and willing to do that, but always my first instinct and the first thing I'm going to try to do is to address any conflict in a way that's going to preserve relationships, in a way that's going to help the airport prosper in the long term in terms of its image.
3 minutes for closing remarks.
Yes. I just met Chris, and in the short time I spent with him, he's a fabulous guy. And I think that no matter who gets chosen tonight, whether it's your favorite candidate or not, my hope is that you rally behind that individual, because I certainly will. If it's not me, I will be supporting Chris in every way that I can. I made like a little 6-page marketing thing, which I will gladly hand over to him as a sign of my commitment to this airport and to its community. Change is difficult, but there are going to be some growing pains if we want to see the kind of changes that are necessary to get what we want, to get to a place that we want. So my hope is that you will support whomever this is, whomever the manager may be. And I'm going to be excited to see what happens next for our next one. Thank you.
Thank you.
Get off your land.
Of course, land. 2 minute break.
Oh. Okay, how are you doing?
Pretty good.
He's doing great. He's doing great. Nearly 13 pounds.
I'm going to go to the hospital.
Like to welcome Chris Lynch, candidate for airport manager. And I'd like to give you 10 minutes or so to tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
Okay. Well, thanks for coming, everyone. Most everybody in here knows who I am. I've been around the airport since 1993. I started flying here. I have got all my ratings here through commercial instrument. And so I do a lot of flying. Everybody knows me from the airport as a pilot. I've been working for an ice company for the last 26 years here in Nashville. And I started at the bottom, and I worked my way to the top. And I co-manage the ice company with the owners of the company. And so I have a lot of management experience. And I work with 20 people on a regular basis. So what I bring to the airport as airport manager is I think I bring a lot of management experience. And it's not just management. I do plowing. I fix machinery. I teach people how to do things all the time in terms of repairing, maintaining equipment, and things like that. So I have a lot of interaction with my employees and a lot of interaction with the principals of the company and the office manager. So I'm dealing with people all the time. So what I bring is management experience. So what do I bring to the community? I'm part of the community, and I think that I'm friends with almost everybody in this room, and so I can get along with people. And I've seen a lot of problems in the past where there's been a lot of turmoil. And I think what I really bring is a lot of integrity, transparency, and accountability. And basically, yes, I work for the Airport Authority, but I come to work for the tenants of the airport, that basically you're all customers. And that's what I bring to the community. During the interviews, we discussed a few different things and, you know, what's your vision? And Mr. Duquette described the first choice plan for the Nashville Airport, which I wasn't aware of, and we haven't talked any more about that. But one of the things I look at the airport is, when I came here in 93, there was a lot of flight training going on here. It was absurd. You could sit 20 planes deep, wait to take off, and that was great. The airport was hustling and bustling, making money, selling fuel, services being provided, airplanes were being rented. And out of that flight training, most of the people, not most of the people, a lot of the people stuck around the airport. People I went to flight school with, Greg Leeson, manages Infinity Aviation. Chris Robinson runs an outfit on the field here. I've been here ever since. There's a lot of people that stayed here from that. And the other thing is, all these people who do the flight training, they tend to add to the business over time. It's not just the fact that they come here and they flight train. They come here, they train, they get their ratings, they buy airplanes, they buy hangars, and a lot of people made their base here. And every person in this room that's a pilot trained somewhere but ended up here at Nashua. And one of the things I've noticed in the last decade is flight training has become somewhat stagnant at Nashua. And I think that one of my visions that we discussed was to get more people involved in flight training, because you need to plant the seeds, you need to plant at a young age, and I think one of the places to do that is in the local school systems. The FAA has programs like the ACE program, where they have summer camps for people, and they come in, and whether they're learning about aerodynamics, actually doing flight training, learning about maintenance, there's all kinds of different aspects to the ACE program. There's actually only one place in New Hampshire that does that. It's up in Laconia. So I kind of wonder why we don't do that in Nashua. So one of my things is I'd like to get together with flight schools over time and see if we can get these programs up and running again, because I think that'll bring a lot of revenue to the airport in the long term. Because if we don't keep training pilots, well, who's going to come here in the next 30 years? Nobody. The other thing we discussed was House Bill, 124, which a lot of you are aware of. I know Wes has attended the meetings. It's about repealing the aircraft registration taxes, which are preventing a lot of corporate jets to come to our airport. It's cost prohibitive for them to come here. And I think that we need to pursue that. I'd like to be involved in that. I don't know what the latest turn of the wheel is on it. I know Wes was at the last meeting. But we need to do that because the taxes are outrageous. And the state feels that, well, if you don't charge this tax, you know, how are you going to run? Well, guess what? If people aren't coming here, they're not paying the tax anyway. You can't have them. You can't get the tax if the people aren't here. So that's a really big thing that we need to work on. That's another one of the things that I plan on being involved with. So that's kind of my vision for helping the airport. But aside from that, you know, as the airport manager, my job day to day, as I know it so far, is, you know, you maintain the airport, you take care of the daily activities, collecting the monies, managing your people, sprucing up the place. And obviously, I have not worked here, so I really don't have a grasp as to exactly what the day-to-day operations are, but I know that Sue Clancy came back to the airport, and I've been told that you're a wealth of information, and I will be picking your brain if I come here. And hopefully I can learn a lot from you on what goes on day-to-day.
She might play your mind.
How about that break, Michael? But that's who I am, and that's what I'd like to do. Like I said, I've worked for 26 years for the same company, so I have a strong work ethic, and I'd like to bring that here to Nashua.
Chris, what's the first thing you do as airport manager?
I go around and meet the people that I don't already know. I would definitely go out and, you know, open the door and just get to know people and find out what their concerns are, what things haven't been working right for them, and what are working for them. Just get my name out there.
Business retention and development is essential to continued success of Nashua Airport. Please discuss the top three priorities which you feel should be implemented or undertaken to retain existing business and attract new aircraft for basing at Nashua.
Well, as I discussed, working on the House Bill 124, that's a big thing. Bringing flight training in. What the third thing is, I guess I'm stumbling at the moment.
What are your storm management and marketing skills?
Well, I don't have a strong marketing background, but I've worked for this company for 26 years, like I said, and we started with a customer base of about 125 customers, and over the time that I've been there, with the assistance of the people that I work for, we've grown that company to about 1,000 customer base. We service Market Basket. That's our biggest chain. That is a huge account. We service about 75 of their stores. And so I'm constantly interacting with the upper management at Market Basket, and we have taken on chains such as Cumberland Farms, Shell, Mobile on the Run, and we're constantly dealing with the corporate people there in terms of marketing our product. So that's pretty much my marketing background.
Do you only follow rules and regs as written, or do you temper each issue with common sense and what is best for each case?
Well, I think you have to have some discretion. The rules are there. I understand the rules are there. They have to be there. There's a lot of things with the FAA I've been reading all about grant assurances and becoming familiar with you know, how the funding gets appropriated to the airports through the state block grant program, which is through the airport improvement program. And there's a lot of concern with grant assurances and making sure that you have standards and procedures in place and that they're enforced, et cetera. That being said, I think there's a lot of discretion. It's not just reading the rules and dropping a hammer and saying that's what the rule is. So that's my position.
Are you a proactive or reactive type of manager?
A little bit of both. I'd like to say, think that I'm more proactive, but you can't always plan for everything, so I guess you have to be able to react in an appropriate manner at any given time.
Will you be open to using open areas for non-aviation events like classic car shows and the start and finish line of a road race?
Interesting. Yes. I think one of the things that I think brings the community into the airport is having events like that. I don't know how the touch a truck thing went off, but I know we had Wings and Wheels, and we have the Collins Foundation come in. I know that's aviation related, I'm sorry. But there was a movie night where it brought all kinds of children into the community. A lot of popcorn. I have a sense of humor. Yes, I think those are great to get the community involved in the airport. You never know who might walk in and say, wow, I want to learn how to fly that plane. So,
as airport manager, how would you address the hazard created by having non-aviation guests out on the ramp while someone might be taking a flight lesson?
Being a pilot myself, and I know a lot of us are, most of us are pilots in here, I think that we take it upon ourselves as the ambassadors of the airport to bring people in here to take them flying. We do that on a regular basis. Flying is not very much fun unless you take somebody flying. And I also think that we're a self-regulated group of people. And I know myself, when I bring somebody here and if I have somebody sitting, I tell them, for your safety, you need to stay over here. Don't cross the taxi lanes. You know, I tell them what the rules are, so to speak, so for their safety. So I think that it's maybe not a huge issue, because I think most everybody in here, you know, educates the people that they bring here. But on the other hand, if you're asking as from a standpoint of the manager, how I would react to this, I think it's, if I saw something going on, it was brought to my attention, I would simply, let the people know in an appropriate way that, for your safety, you can't be roaming around, you need to be over here. And we don't want to discourage people by coming over and say, hey, you're out of here, you can't stand there. So I think it's more of a soft sell approach to it.
How about 3 minutes of a closing statement?
Okay. I'm losing my voice. Closing statement. Didn't think of that one. That's a good one. I really look forward to the opportunity to doing this. It's been my passion. Aviation, as everybody in this room is, I understand. I know there's people in here that have built airplanes. Ray, I worked for years with Ray on one of his planes. And we share the same passion. And I feel that I would fit in as well as I fit in right now as a friend to everybody in here as the manager. I'm fair. I don't want to say, everything's going to be whatever you want, because that's not the case, as Dave can tell you. I act as devil's advocate a lot. We'll talk about things. We hash things out all the time. We always try to look at both sides of things. And I think that's where, when I said I come here with integrity and transparency, I think inclusion is a really big thing at this airport that has been lacking. People need to be included in decisions that are being made, and I look forward to, you know, gaining all the knowledge that I can from everybody in here and continuing to make the airport prosper and thrive, and hopefully it's the way it was back in the 90s, and you know, I have to wait 30 minutes to take off because this place is so busy. So, anyhow.
Thank you.
And I'm ready. Why do I have to go home, Sandy?
This is the fun part.
Everybody gets to talk about me?
Yeah.
Is Maria waiting for you to come back?
Yeah, the Maria at home. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. I'll stay if, unless you want me to leave. I can leave.
Well, we can't talk about you.
Okay. Good night. Thank you.
Okay. Public input. Steve.
I just want to ask a question and then make a comment, or make a comment and then ask a question. The first question, the first comment I want to make is you've chosen two great candidates. I do, however, want to make a comment, and the comment I want to make is there's a glaring absence, in my own opinion. I had sent you guys a list of attributes of an airport manager, specifically here in Nashville. And the absence, I think, in my own personal opinion, this is my personal opinion, as Dave shown me, he fulfilled everything that I put on that attributes list. And my question for you is this. Why? It's simply why. Why is he not on the short list, is what I should say more specifically.
He didn't pass the background check.
He's asking why we didn't have Dave Schoeneman as a finalist. Dave was very close to a finalist. Just so that you know, we all think he is an incredible, incredible candidate. He is a fabulous man. He brings a lot to the table. However, there are reasons, and maybe Dave wants to speak a little bit.
I was just going to say that I appreciate Mr. Boulette's comment, it's been a pleasure to be around the airport and certainly to get to know everybody. That was an unsolicited comment. It's kind of hard to solicit from Steve anyway, or to get him to not do it or something. But I respect the decision that the authority made, and I think you've chosen a couple of good candidates. I think that as we move forward, you know, I've got a role as an alderman that I've been enjoying, and I've enjoyed the contributions that I can make here. I think that a manager's skill set is different than an aldermanic skill set. There are certain things that one does that another doesn't. And I echo what Steve said. I think you got a couple of good candidates here. And, you know, whichever direction you go, I'll weigh in on my own opinion when the time comes. But I respect the decisions that were made, and I think we're off in the right direction.
Thank you.
It was not an easy decision, I will tell you that.
So what was the why again?
I'm sorry?
What was the why again?
Why he was not chosen?
And put into the short list.
He was in the very short list.
We had several excellent candidates and needed to pare it down even further to these two. And that's basically what happened.
We appreciate everything he does as an alderman.
Yeah.
And that is his passion, and he wants to be there and stay there. And we're not sure where that balance would be if we have him here.
Yes, sir.
Neither of these candidates have any experience managing an airport. Mm-hmm. Did you get any people coming forward who do have airport management experience?
We did, but your rental fee would go up.
Oh, you did the what?
Can I talk about
that? Sure,
sure. You know, we had a couple of candidates with specific experience. One in particular we really, really liked. But in all honesty, I won't present numbers. It's inappropriate in this forum. But suffice to say, we could not afford him. And, you know, the other candidate that, you know, had some specific management experience. But for, you know, again, for specific reasons, I won't comment on in this forum. We ended up, you know, turning that candidate down as well. But, the top candidate with the most experience at airports, unfortunately, we could not afford that person.
Roger Matthews for the record. Can you give us what the salary range is for a entry-level airport manager?
Give you that number?
No. I don't know what it is. I'm asking the question. What is the salary range for Nashua or any other small airport around here for an entry-level manager? You must have a dollar figure. You're bouncing around. There must be a range.
We do have a range. There is a salary range that was generated several years ago, about 3 years ago, by the municipality organization that did a salary study for our positions here. I don't know what that figure is currently at the starting range, but all I can say is, without going into specifics, what I feel the board can afford will be within the ranges that are set forth.
Can you give us an idea what that range is?
No, I'm not
$10 to $10,000.
I'm not going to discuss that in public. I think that's inappropriate.
How much was the guy asking for that you turned down because it was too much?
More than
that range. Why is this not a municipal position, and should not that range be public information?
It probably is public information, Greg.
Just don't
and when
have
we decide, when we discuss further with whichever candidate we choose, then we'll make that more public, I guess. It'll be posted. It's a public record. But the person, you know, who probably was number one, was asking for a lot more money than we can afford.
Wes?
I was just going to point out that, you know, all of the city salaries are on the website. And I would suggest that the salary range it should be public. Going forward, you know, I accept the idea that there are guys out there who you can't afford.
Mm-hmm. And we met some of them during our interviews. They were already making considerably more than we thought was the ballpark number, and looking for more.
The board will take that under advisement. Any other public input? Well, thank you. Next, the minutes, Mr. Secretary.
Okay, we have a multitude of back minutes to approve. Just a quick note, this was primarily because of the leadership changes and recording issues that we had. They've been out there, they've been on the site, they've been available, the board has all had the chance to read them all. So we have the public minutes from January 17th, the 24th, the 15th of February, and those are the public minutes. And one of those sets is the special meetings that we had, the walkthrough, engineering, etc. So I make a motion that we approve the board minutes from January 17th, January 24th, and February 15th.
I'll second.
Discussion. No discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Okay, we have two sets of non-public minutes to approve, one of which has been sealed, February 15th, and one of which was not sealed, and upon approval will be posted to the website along with the other public notices. The first one is February the 15th. And both of those dealt primarily with personnel matters as a result of some of the changes that took place. So I make a motion to approve the non-public minutes of February the 15th and February the 27th.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Is that it for motions?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Next item is the Treasurer's Report. We have the January, we put on hold to further investigate a couple of questions that we've had. The questions were answered, one particular in that our audit expense, we received a reimbursement from the state of New Hampshire under one of our grants that we have. So that showed up in January as a negative figure to that line expense. But otherwise, January's figures were correct. For February, we have about $5,000 more in snow removal income than budgeted. Our expenses are higher, lower because of the vacancy of a full-time airport manager. Some of the other items, expenses are pretty much in line, so that overall we were about $10,000 less in expenses than budgeted for the month. So we're showing a surplus of $18,000 in a year to date of $50,000. And after we factor in shares of the percentage shares of the master plan project and the pavement project, we have a net shortfall of about $7,500. We expect that to be in the positive within the next month or two. And we'll expect to wind up the year with a slight surplus. The negative figure in travels and meals is a refund on a airline ticket that was received in February. Any questions? I'd like to make a motion to accept the January and February financial reports pending audit.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. Next item is communications. I reviewed our cash position with the staff, and we are at a point now where we feel we can invest about $80,000 in a certificate of deposit. We've had various quotes anywhere from 0.25% to 0.4%. Basically looking at a 12-month, 12 to 13-month certificate. So I would ask for a motion that we approve to purchase a $80,000 certificate of return not to exceed 13 months. The best rate is Enterprise Bank at 0.5%.
25%.
Big bucks here,
right there.
Yeah. Bring your $80,000
with mine. So it's a half of 1%.
Okay, I'll second that.
Okay, discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. applications.
We have a number of communications. The first one is a letter from the FAA regarding the decommission of various pieces of equipment that was explained in quite detail by a representative that was here previously. The second one is a letter from Hollis Brookline High School, and basically it's an agreement with the airport. We have an intern relationship with Hollis Brookline, in which they have a special need educational student who actually works for us at the airport doing administrative type duties under the supervision of a paid staff member from Hollis Brookline. We have insurance and all of that stuff. So it's basically public relations on our part to offer them, offer the school the opportunity to allow this person to have to gain some employment type skills when he goes out into the world. We received a letter applying for a position in the airport that didn't exist, and we informed the person of that. We have a letter from the Tampoli folks to extend the lease on 106 perimeter, which is CrossFit. There is interest in selling the building, and one of the conditions was that the lease be renewed at the current rates. And I'll tell you that this is all of that, and we will talk about it a little bit in non-public, but I can tell you that it's a lot more complicated than most people believe it is. And I just will share with you something that I was provided recently with respect to FAA guidance on leases. The FAA guidance on aeronautical use leases is that they should be long enough to amortize the tenant's investment, but under no circumstances more than 50 years. And for non-aeronautical use, they should never exceed 25 years. Now, some of the leases that we have are for very, very long periods of time that were written, approved, and signed off on 25, 30 years ago, and they still got plenty of time to go. And when those come up, and some of these are in that category, we have some serious issues that we have to address. So we have had the renewal for the perimeter place investment lease on our to-do list here for some time, and it's not because we just aren't paying attention. We are, but it's a very, very complex issue. Again, we have another letter from the FAA to decommission some equipment. Again, that was pretty much all explained. And we have a letter from MacAir to host the City of Nashua's
National Institute
for Sculpture Symposium. It's the folks that come in town once a year to do the sculpturing. MacAir is going to host it. It's a social event. The mayor will be on the airport for the event, as will Tracy Hatch from the Chamber of Commerce. And that's it on communications.
Thank you. Tower report was included in the packet. The traffic count for February is 13 less than 2016 at 3252. So just about even with last year for the first 2 months of the year. Do you have any report?
Well, you know, I'd just like to report on the snow plowing. We had a storm yesterday, and they plowed quite a few hours yesterday to little avail. Believe it or not, they came in this morning at 3:30 and started plowing aggressively. And we generally didn't get too many complaints today, but the chairman and I and the office manager went down and met with the mayor this afternoon, and we had a drive on some streets in Nashua, and I have to tell you, I was prepared to call, ask the mayor if he needed any help plowing the streets down there. They were pretty full of snow, so they don't have anything over on us. That's the only thing I have. Oh, Gate 12 is out of operation. It was out of operation on Sunday. Our people came in and fixed it. And there's another problem with it, and they were plowing snow today, so we'll get on it first thing in the morning.
What time did you get the runways open this morning?
I believe it was about 10 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe 9:30.
I called Bedford Towers area. They're closed still at that time.
Yeah, I'd say around 10 o'clock.
Thank you very much. Airport engineer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Matt Caron with Gale Associates. I'm happy to report that the Master Plan Committee held its first meeting back on Monday, March 6th. Being the first meeting, we took care of a lot of housekeeping items, such as roles, responsibilities, data collection efforts. Huge thank you to Director Woods and Director Duquette on spending some time in that upstairs storage room and kind of going through some of the dusty documents and providing those to me, which will definitely go to good use as we start getting into this master plan. We also discussed draft chapter one, which I presented to them prior to the meeting. Not as much time as some folks would have liked, but we'll be sure to make sure that gets out sooner rather than later moving forward. Just working on revisions to that draft chapter, working on chapters two and chapters three, and the master plan committee at an upcoming meeting will be presenting those draft chapters hopefully within the next few months. So,
In terms of engineering, Eric Strand, Gale Associates for the record, we have two projects ongoing, pavement pre-con and maintenance on the runway 32 end. We held the pre-con last Thursday. As of that date, and prior to the, 12 to 16 inches of snow we received, we were anticipating an April 3rd start date. Later on, I'll talk about the schedule. Had a pre-con, very productive meeting. All parties based on that, we've issued a field order to Continental for the additional work on the Alpha ramp. As part of that, we've also drafted a agreement between Whitefield, Town of Whitefield, and the airport for the non-primary transfer of funds so that we can fund that piece of it. I'm told by the chairman, Jim Ash, the chairman from Whitefield or Mount Rushmore Airport, that they have forwarded on to the airport, so be on the lookout. I just mentioned to Sue that once she sees it, let me know. The airport will need to sign it and then send it to New Hampshire DOT so you can fully execute it. Hold on to the check for right now until the document is fully executed. Any questions on that, I can fill in after this. As part of field order number one, we need a change order price for tie-downs because tie-downs were added in. If you remember, the original scope was to take them out, so we need a price from them. Once we have that, we'll do a formal change order to add that to it. All right, let's talk about schedule. Contractor is proposing an April 3rd start date, and what they would like to do is start in phase one, which is, for all intents and purposes, it's shown on your agenda. It is the T-hanger area. Phase one is all of that T-hanger area. What that includes, they put in some bullet notes here. They want to start April 3rd, and it continues for 30 days. This area will not be accessible once construction starts because they're going to be ripping up the pavement, installing the drainage, and the area will not be available for operations until they are 100% done in this area. So we would advise that all aircraft or people who want stuff out of those hangars to have them out prior to April 3rd, as the hangars won't be accessible. I know that the airport has put together a notice. Obviously, the big thing with this schedule is that it's tentative and it's contingent upon the weather. We obviously can't start if the ground is still frozen, and if we still have a ton of snow on the ground. Continental is not adverse to starting when it's cold, but we do want to make sure it's the right time of year to start the project. If there's a lot of snow on the ground, it's going to create a soft, wet environment that's going to be hard to do construction in, so we don't want to do that. Otherwise, just be better on wheels. That's phase one. Again, 30 calendar days, start to finish. 30 calendar days puts you into the early part of May. And then we want to move into phase two. Phase two, they're proposing to start on May 3rd and continue for 45 days. Phase two, so everyone knows, is Corporate Row. It's tax lane, Alpha ramp, all that area. Important to note that a portion of Alpha will be closed for both phase one and phase two, but all said and done, we're talking 5 to 7 days, very minimal, just for construction inside the OFA for both of those areas. And those will be coordinated throughout construction, so it's very minimal. In our pre-con, we talked about those with the contractor, with the tower, as well as the airport, you know, seeing the issues with that, making sure we are very active in communicating all those downtimes with everyone. Couple of big tickets here. The brick hanger parking lot will not be accessible. They'll need to park outside the fence and use the pit gate to access the facility. Gate number 5 will be down to operations because the entire area will be under construction, and we don't want people actively coming into the construction site.
Eric?
Yes.
This is phase 2,
correct? This is phase 2, correct. And then all of those areas will not be accessible for aircrafts as well. So that means that a lot of the corporate pilots and a lot of the larger facilities will need to coordinate getting out before construction starts.
And that's what, 5 to 7 days?
That's 45 calendar days.
Oh, 45.
45 calendar days.
One of the things we've talked about is we're going to put together, we've got a draft notice with words, but some sort of condensed graphics. I think we talked about taking some of the design docs and boiling them down to some pretty easy to understand sort of maps of this is phase 1, this is phase 2. Here's the duration, here's the duration, here's the tentative date. Like Eric said, who knows, this could do this till May, so you never know. But we'll get that up on the website here, I think, by next meeting. I think it's not an aggressive schedule to have that.
No, I mean, absolutely. I mean, we kind of have some rough graphics. They're in the package, which you'll see, that shows the work area specifically. We'll work with you guys to make sure you get them up.
Yeah,
work
with
you. You can just work by the tenants and everything. That's fine. That's pretty much it for that project. Oh, with the exception of supplemental agreement number 1, I have a copy of for the additional work that's occurred with Alpha Ramp. It's here for signature, and we'll leave it with you guys just to sign. So
you get your general services if you're looking for it.
Yeah, I was talking about that too. We have the general services agreement as well here, so for signature. Any questions with that project?
I've got a question. You're saying 30 days.
For phase 1.
For the phase 1, and that's going to affect me. Are you going to be more than 30 days, or are you staying 30 days and probably finish it up in, say, 3 weeks?
The way the contract is written is that the contractor has 30 calendar days to start to finish.
Okay.
To finish that area. We can't control the weather, obviously, so we, you know, if there's adverse weather and they start and we get a foot of snow, I don't anticipate it, but, you know, that there is an issue. The way the contract's written is that if they don't get it done within 30 days, for anything other than weather-related items, like snow or, you know, pouring rain for days on end, that they are assessed liquidated damages for any lost revenue. And those are real costs that are incurred by the airport, you know, and your tenants and stuff like that that you can recuperate. So, but we envision that it'll be 30 days.
Russ?
Not everyone looks at the website. I was just going to ask who's going to go knocking on doors to all these tenants. Do I?
As soon as we approve the verbiage, we're going to put this on the website, and we're going to put this on every door of the hangar. And what we're asking everybody to have the knowledge is that if you need to move, call the office manager, and we'll work out where you should go, where you would like to go, etc.
Blast email also.
Blast email, yeah.
So they'll be tied out. The almost second. Put my airplane to a tie down, right? Yeah, with the office.
Yep. And also, gate number 8 will be used exclusively by the contractor. They're going to have the key to lock. It's a lock gate, so they'll have that. Gate number 7 will be deactivated during the period of the contract because there's work going on right inside there.
Yeah, and I think it's important, like Wes said, just to make sure everyone knows what's going on. The point is to make sure that we know when areas are closed and when you can't be in those areas. The last thing the contractor or an aircraft needs, we've all seen and heard things that have happened before where pilots crash into aircraft that shouldn't be where there's or a pilot over parked cars are where they shouldn't be. We want to prevent those types of things at all times and keep it a safe operating condition for both the contractor and for the users of the airport. All right. That's it for phase 1. And then the grooving project, runway 1432, groove and seal. 75% design was submitted. We actually met with New Hampshire DOT and the airport last Thursday, right after the pre-con of the previous project. It was a good meeting. Things are in very good shape. And actually, the project right now is out on the streets for bid. With the assistance of Sue, we got the advertisement out for bid on the 1st of the month. The plans and specs were submitted on the 7th. They're up. We're using Project Dog. They're free of charge for anyone who wants to see them. Wants to see them, feel free to contact me and we'll get you access code to Project Dog to do that. The pre-bid for this is March 21st. I've started contacting all the contractors imaginable to drum up interest in the project. We actually have a lot of people that have a lot of interest in the project already. We anticipate getting healthy bids for this. And the bid opening is on March 28th at 10 o'clock here at the airport. So that's pretty much it. You can see I put a copy of the schedule in. You have a grayed out section here for all the things that have been done. And the big ones here that are left are, as I mentioned, the pre-bid, the bid opening, and then the submission of the grant application to meet the New Hampshire Block Grant April 1st deadline.
And I think everybody knows or should know that the grooming is anticipated for the fall of 2017.
As we talked about, I think as recently as last month, we anticipate, contingent upon funding, that's the tough part, we anticipate that the grooming will happen in the early to late fall of this year, and then the pavement rejuvenator and the remarking will happen in the, you know, probably mid-spring, early summer of this coming, of 2018.
Questions.
I think we talked about time frames too. We're talking a 10-day for closures for the grooming. We're talking 10 days all at night. And then for phase two, which is the pavement rejuvenator and the remarking, is 5 consistent consecutive days, full-time closure, 24 hours a day, just because once we start blocking out markings, you can't open it back up until you have the markings back down. All right, so 5 consistent days, just so everyone understands that.
And the question was asked, can we mark the taxiway and use it as a runway, and the answer is no.
The answer is you can't do it without doing a safety management system plan, a safety management plan. FAA for an airport like this is not going to pay for that. It's a large endeavor, large costly endeavor. We spoke to New Hampshire DOT last week about it. You know, what the airport does during construction is up to you guys. We would advise just from a safety standpoint, because you have construction ongoing and your runway is a different environment than your taxiway. Your taxiway is not set up to be used as a runway. But, you know, it has been done at other airports, and, you know, in conjunction with the tower, you guys can work that out.
Harrison Ford did it.
We have
a set of Ford
getting away with it, too.
Wes,
I think I just heard two contradictory things. One is that the FAA wants to do some kind of safety plan, but the airport can use the taxiway as a runway.
No, it's not contradictory. In order to do it as part of an AIP project, you'd have to do a safety, an SMS plan, which they're not going to fund at this type of airport. But has it been done at airports before at the airport's discretion? It has. It's been done here before.
What's the cost?
I don't have a cost for it. When we spoke to New Hampshire DOT just last week, they said it's not something we're going to fund at a GA airport.
So we can do what we want, but they won't fund any safety. They won't fund any margin.
Are we talking $10,000,
$50,000, $100,000? You're probably talking about $100,000 for a safety plan of that magnitude.
Or land at the
arm.
So you get 14 month notice, it's closed for 5 days.
I share Wes's concern. I feel like I'm hearing two different things. So they're not going to pay for it, but do we have to do that plan or not if we want to land on the taxiway?
We would advise that you should.
But we don't have to.
Okay. You don't have to.
That's fine. I just wanted to understand. I understand the FAA always advises, but it's up to us.
They're going to strongly recommend. They're going to strongly recommend it. Now, they don't have any teeth in it because they're not funding it, per se, but you are a facility that has taken AIP funds. You have grant assurances, and in doing such, are strongly recommended to meet the requirements.
But that's not a requirement, you just said.
It's a recommendation. FAA has strong recommendations.
If I may say, how long is it going to be closed again?
5 days.
5 days. All right. Flight schools, I mean, we wouldn't land a jet on a taxiway, but I've landed on a taxiway before, too, and I don't know if the airport where I did it was down in D.C. area, if they had gone through that process or not. A lot of flying, all flying, is based on PIC decisions. And a flight school, I mean, maybe someone's not going to do it, but I wonder if we should think about letting a pilot make that decision.
Yeah, I just got to, you know, if you sort of read back through the history of these kinds of things at airports, the biggest issue is not whether or not you can do it legally. I mean, the mechanics of it are simple. It's a remarketing project. It's not a big deal. The issue is liability. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what the PIC does. The airport's going to be on the hook. Tons of tort law cases like this have come up. Airports have been held accountable for these kinds of things. So especially airports that receive federal money. So is it legal? It's legal probably because it's not specifically illegal. Is it mechanically possible? Sure. But does the airport really want to accept that degree of liability is really what it comes down to.
There's another ingredient as well. The tower was represented during these meetings, and they're absolutely against it.
And all of that, of course, would come out if something bad happened. And so the airport's going to end up holding the bag on us.
So would people please state their name for the record?
Oh, I'm sorry, Rick Bartle.
Let's live for the record. Well, I fly out of 1,950 feet by 24, and you're all welcome to come over to my place for those 5 minutes.
Have a parking space?
Party of lessons.
Sandy, what about the hot dog cart?
And the only thing that I have is the General Services Agreement, which Joe alluded to. I have it here for signature. So I'll leave both those documents. It's something I want to have the General Services Agreement for signature. Any other questions? I just want to say, on behalf of Gail, the board, specifically Bob, Farrell, and Joe, you guys have done a great job in the interim with no manager and keeping things moving, and we appreciate it tremendously.
I did have a question. In the packet was the capital improvements going forward for future years.
Yep.
At what point in time does the board or does a committee review or should review this in order to ensure that the dates and the amounts and the dates are desirable.
You have a couple of things. So traditionally, the way that it works, the Hampshire DOT starts doing their CIP meeting sometime in July or August for the next fiscal year. So prior to that meeting, we'll want to sit down and talk about the wish list and what you guys want to do with your CIP. Now, you guys have your master plan going on right now, which is going to be figuring out capital improvements, you know, moving forward, but you know, your time to do this is sometime before the July-August time frame. Start talking about this and seeing how you want to move things around, add things, take stuff out, whatever it is, and get more information on those types of things.
Thank you.
And then from there, New Hampshire DOT gets together with the FAA to solidify what they can fund and what they can program within it, and things change accordingly. Nashville traditionally hasn't changed too much from what's on their CIP.
Thank you. Committee reports. The Chiefs of Parliament Committee?
We did not meet.
So no reports. Any other committees?
Sure. So you know, this was already covered in the engineer's report, but you know, the Master Plan Committee had its first meeting a short while ago, and you know, this was attended you know, by myself and Joe from the board. We had Matt there. Carol from DOT came down, you know, which was, you know, it was nice to meet her finally. And, you know, I think we had a good first meeting. We identified some items, some information that we need to supply to Gail going forward. We started doing that. You know, we'll look forward to, you know, getting those, you know, next couple of chapters out, and we'll look forward to the next meeting. No major, you know, earth-changing stuff, you know, occurred or was discussed at the meeting, but I think the meetings will get a little more interesting as we go along, you know, particularly when we start, you know, discussing the CIP.
Old business, perimeter place investments lease extension.
I've already talked about that.
Well, sir. HB 124 update. I can report that I was at the subcommittee of the Ways and Means Committee last week. There was fair amount of attendees from the aviation community. This was more of a working committee. If you recall, the Ways and Means Committee sent the bill down to the subcommittee to work out the details. And basically, there was support from the majority of the group there, which included general aviation organizations, corporate jet FBOs, and some of the airports. The problem that they ran into was the timing of trying to figure out how to make up this roughly $900,000 in monies that the state would not get if the registration fees would be totally eliminated. And the committee needed to have their final report within less than a week. And they felt that it was not sufficient time to come up with an adequate solution. And the chair of the subcommittee recommended that it be studied. Now, in the legislature, when you study a bill, it can mean one of two things. It can mean it's being studied and it'll be killed forever and they won't talk about it again. But I felt that that was not the case with this bill. The committee saw that there was a problem. They want to work over the summer to find a sufficient solution. And then they will bring it back to the legislature and to the committees in January. So that's basically where the bill stands at this point. Do they have anything to update?
No, I think that's exactly right. I think that they didn't table it to kill it. I think that's worth noting. They tabled it truly to work on it some more. And I think that the case that we had to make was that there was a need for reform. And I think that case was made well with all the meetings we've been to. So I think they understand that.
No, there's something I want to add to that.
Sure.
So my understanding is that there was an interesting corollary that came up during those discussions, which was that, as some of us know, New Hampshire collects a toll of 4 cents for 100 low lead and 2 cents for Jet A, and Jet A for Part 121 operations incurs a 0.5 cent per gallon toll. And, this was interesting because part of the grant assurances that FAA imposes is that fuel taxes that are charged at the state level have to go back into the airport system. So in other words, they would go back to the specific airports where the fuel was pumped, or they would go towards some aviation-related purpose, such as noise abatement, for a given airport. But the requirement is that 100% of those monies needs to be returned to the airport system. And right now, New Hampshire, by statute, only returns 25%. So the question came up, is a toll a tax? And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, the determination was that, well, a toll is a tax.
It is, and HB1 and HB2, which are the New Hampshire budget bills, they're correcting that. What did not come up at the meeting, which was kind of interesting, is if those monies now all have to go to aviation, there's actually a bigger hole in the general budget. And the converse side of that, New Hampshire DOT didn't really seem to want to speak to the notion that the airports would get more money out of them, which might, they still want to fill the hole left by changing registration fees, but it looks like the financial landscape of the New Hampshire support for airports is about to change, and that was kind of not discussed at that meeting at all.
Thank you. The only other committee meeting or meeting I want to report that Bob started to talk about it was we met with the mayor today and with regards to our budget request for capital for the upcoming year. We had requested funds for two projects, one for the runway grooving and paving project for around $30,000 and $35,000 and about $30,000 for the pavement project. He seemed quite receptive. He wanted to know how things were going at the airport, and we reiterated that you know, this is money well spent investing in the infrastructure of the airport, and this is something that needs to be done and is definitely overdue. And we'll see what this budget comes up with. Next is upcoming events. We have the Boy Scouts Camp Lee.
Yeah, I think you know that's still going to happen. I think you know we had some interesting emails fly around about the involvement that DOT has in this and similar events. And I think the word is like DOT needs to be informed that they don't actually sign off on it.
They have to review it.
They have to review it. Yeah. Okay. So
and to my knowledge, they've never declined a project event that we've
given the information they're looking for. Okay.
They just like to be kept in the loop.
Yeah.
Well, they're our FAA, and they are assuring us that we are complying with the grant assurances.
Okay. The other date of upcoming events is the New Hampshire Aviation Museum fly-in. That's on June 6th. Anyone have any information?
No, I don't know. It'll again be held at Hangar 81. A National Jet will host it for the New Hampshire Museum.
Oh, that's here?
Same as we've done the last 3 years, I believe. Mm-hmm. They've always had a great turnout. And mm-hmm.
What day of the week is that?
Saturday. It's usually 3 or 4 hours.
That's not Young Eagles. Will that be Young Eagles Day if we do that?
Pardon me?
Would that be the same day as Young Eagles? Usually that's the first Saturday of the month, too. Which is fine. Mm-hmm.
It's never went in with the Young Eagles before.
I'll talk to Greg about Young Eagles.
Okay. Okay. Is Greg that date of the EAA? I mean the EAA fly-in at Manchester.
We don't care about that.
Huh? Is that what you're talking about?
No. This is a museum fly-in here.
It's going to be here. Okay. I'm sorry. I think that's the same thing.
Public input?
Excuse me, Bob. You mentioned talking to Greg about...
I'm sorry, I misspoke. I need to talk to Dave Plantier.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, thanks for that.
About Young Eagles?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, he's our Young Eagles coordinator.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Andy, now, for the record, two comments. One... You quickly passed the $80,000 CD. Is it guaranteed or insured by anybody?
Yes, it's insured by the federal government.
FDIC, $200,000.
You're sure of that?
Yes.
But sometimes it's not. And this one.
It's interesting you should bring that up because we've had a multitude of problems with our bank accounts with that. You may recall when the accountants were here, and I read some verbiage to that effect. I asked a question, and I received a lecture on, well, the FDIC only covers up $200,000. After that, there has to be something else, and that something else is insurance for all intents and purposes. And he assured us that we had it. And it turns out we did. We have it. That's why I'm asking the question. It's extremely bureaucratic, and we were having problems with our bank accounts that a check bounced. And
it didn't bounce.
The bank had to fix it. It was their problem.
They had to reopen the account.
Yeah, yeah. They closed the account.
It's all good.
But yes, to answer your
question.
The other question is, we're into the eyes of March here today. The end of June is coming quickly. Has there been any planning, et cetera, for the year-end statements? Is anybody doing anything on that, or is that being held up because of lack of management?
We have started the preparation in going through contact with the auditors, working on year-end journal entries and standard journal entry adjustments, so yes.
Okay, great.
Dave Wilkie, I have just a question about the paving, phase two in Fortune, what's called Corporate Road. Have you guys had any official contact with anybody down there as a board, business owners? There's a lot of people down there, a lot of employees, a lot of use, and it sounds like 2 months away, 2.5 months away.
I'm waiting for the new manager to do that.
It seems like that's got to happen really quick.
We did have a public meeting on the site where we talked about time frames and talked about closures and durations of them.
I was there, but I wonder, are these people even aware? Because how come they're not here tonight?
They weren't there that day.
Phase two is, we have to write another sheet because it's different buildings and different stuff, but yeah, okay, we'll read you.
Bob, I'll work with you in here. We'll take care of it in the next
good point.
Week and a half. We'll be out here.
Yes, Wes.
I'd just like to comment that I think you have two great candidates for the yearbook management spot. And it sounds like it comes down to whether you place the most value on things like marketing or things like plant-based and whatnot. But I think they're both very highly qualified people and should do a great job.
Lawrence, you brought up that subject. I may have missed it, I'm not sure, but the date that you're going to make a decision on one of those two people.
We don't have a date. The board's going to convene a non-public session after this meeting, and we will decide on strategies and timing. We have to make an offer and whether it's accepted or not, and you know, so there's different things that will need to happen. We hope to have someone in place by mid-April.
So, a question then: how is this group going to weigh in on the choice?
The public input is what we're at
right now. Right now, that's it. All right.
Yeah,
and we can make a recommendation for one or the other. I would like to speak on that. Probably about a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, Chris Lynch came by my hangar, and we were talking about the situation here at the airport, and management in particular, and he said to me, he said, you know, when prior to Mr. Burke being hired, he had applied, Chris Lynch had applied, never even heard back, and I was surprised, and my immediate reaction was, Chris, you'd be great for this job. And we talked a number of times over the intervening months, not since we both applied for the job, but we did speak a number of times during the intervening time. And I think he'd be really good. As I said before, I think we need to head for a period of peace and tranquility. I'm not saying that the woman who was here wouldn't bring it, but I think there's a guarantee, and I think that going forward, the airport needs a guarantee that there will be peace and tranquility. And that's more important. It's more important to me, I think, that we establish a solid baseline
from which to move forward than it is to actually do the moving forward with an aggressive marketing program. She seems to be very qualified for marketing, maybe more so than Chris is, although Chris did grow that business. But I think that we need a period of time when things are guaranteed to be smooth, and I think that he can bring that. And I told him when I spoke to him that day that I thought he would be great. And again, this is over a year ago. And I was surprised that he hadn't been interviewed the last time, but there were politics involved. So based on what he said here tonight and what I know of him, he would be my personal recommendation for this role. I think he can step into it. He does know the people. He's been here a long time. And I was listening to her speak. I was thinking if there's ever another vacancy on the board, she might be good. Because she brings but I think that with either candidate, I think especially with Chris, because he's known here, that your jobs ought to become easier. I mean, the way they're supposed to be, in my mind. So that's my two cents.
Thank you. Anyone else?
I'd just like to add something to that, because I didn't think about this anyway, and that I was impressed with her marketing expertise there, at least it seemed that way. Chris, I don't know how else to put this, but just out there. Chris is one of us. He understands the history here. He already gets along. He's a known commodity, an absolutely known commodity here at the airport, which is also important. And what I think would be, this is just my opinion, what would be a good compromise and give you the best product overall would be Chris, with her, as she's already offered anyway, to help, and she really means it. So she's been here for a while to, again, become a proven commodity, is to provide that expertise that maybe Chris might be a little lacking in, and provide that marketing. Everybody's happy.
Hi, Michael Henning. With regards to Chris, if you don't know history, you're bound to repeat it. Chris knows all the history that happened, all the politics, all the negative stuff that happened on the field, and going forward, he knows what to avoid, what mistakes not to do. And Chris is a pilot, he's a lieutenant, building an RVA, he's an RV guy, that makes him good. But I think he'd be a great manager. And he's got, he's got plenty of leadership experience where he works now. Mechanical experience, I mean, just working on machinery, all different types of machinery, so he'd be good in the garage too, helping out if the truck brakes or hydraulics or something like that. Maybe he can integrate in that mechanical background and expertise.
I would also second that, because I fly for with Chris on mechanical airplanes and you name it. And I'm very impressed. He has the potential to dig into something and not give up until he understands it 100%. So that's always where a lot of people might be, it's good enough. He's got a lot of bulldogs like that. The other thing that I happen to see on the requirements for the job that I don't think ever came up is he had a CDL. He manages heavy equipment. He drives heavy equipment. He has taught a lot of people that he worked with, also just friends that were interested in getting a CDL and driving an 18-wheel truck for the heck of it up through the state and with a successful including that. So I think it brings a lot.
Just a point of clarification with respect to the CDL. We haven't been able to nail it down yet. Whether or not one is or is not required to operate the equipment on the airport. We have had people operating without it. We can't find where it's required. Our vehicles do not go on public roads. The answer is we don't know. Everybody that does it currently has a CDL, and we're holding it for that for the time being.
I think it's wise to have. I think it should be a requirement for us. I mean, you're driving your people's airplanes. I think we should make that part of our
requirement. The New Hampshire State Troopers, did you talk to the highway division? I have a box truck, so I have to have medical, and it's all registered, USDOT stuff.
this guy came in, he explained all the laws, and he called the U.S. The New Hampshire State Trooper Highway Division, you know, the truck enforcement, they'll tell you.
Okay.
And they'll tell you like that. These guys know the regulations, frontwards and backwards.
Okay.
All right. Director's comments.
You want to talk about the additional directors?
Yeah, I was going to bring it up.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I wanted to address the board, and the board has been extremely busy, hands-on, over the last probably 3 months since the vacancy of the airport manager, and to me, that's not really the role necessarily of the board. We should be setting policy and have a airport manager and direct that person to adhere to whatever policy that we decide on. And although we each have our own expertise in certain areas, and that's been working out really well, and I think we've done a fabulous job. We're very proud of our work that we've been doing. But one of the things we discussed with the mayor was, and I was going to bring it to the board, whether in order to enhance that board policy and descriptions, is to enlarge the board to have another two more members, so that we can do more delegation to various subcommittees and share the work more amongst more people. And I just throw it out there, because if that's the case, then the mayor was agreeable to it. He said whatever we decide to do. So I just throw it out for discussion sake.
You don't want to have to.
Sandy, what are you doing for the next 7 years?
Me? 7 years. I'm all for having a couple more members. I think it's really hard. It's hard to get things done when we can't talk to each other. You know, we meet here, you know, so it is tricky. We were talking to Alderman Schoenemann about, they have a whole 15, and so they can talk amongst, they can, you know, bounce things off each other. Where we can't really do that without, you know, getting into trouble. I'm all for having a few more members. It's a non-paid position, so I don't think he's going to argue, right?
Well, he did indicate that it may require an ordinance change, but he said, let him know tomorrow and he'll start on the process.
Oh, really?
Our bylaws do not state a number for the number of directors.
I think you can enable me to access that.
It does.
Yeah,
that's the issue. It requires legislation at the state level.
Oh, really?
Yes.
At the state level?
Enabling legislation specifies a board of five.
Yeah.
We could do that, too, but that's just a little different process.
Yeah,
that's
not quite no problem. You should tell him, he'll take care of what I've just done. If that's what
So,
I mean, I don't think we're going to have to work as hard when we have a manager
right.
in place, you know, that will be rolling along and doing things. My personal
That would be nice.
Just a question. If you expand the board, won't you have to expand the number of, or rather reduce the number of people that can get together? I mean, now you need to have, no more than three can get together, or no more than two can
no
get together at one time.
Yeah.
Does that mean... No,
as long as you don't have a
forum.
Then
three can get together and not have our public meeting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So not big.
It's a gathering, not
RSA 343.3 is already created. It is hereby created the NAFTA Airport Authority, which shall be a body corporate and politic, having the powers and jurisdiction here. And after enumerated, and so on, it says the management of said corporation shall be vested in the board of five directors.
Yeah.
You're funded by the mayor, confirmed by the board of aldermen.
Right.
So you have to change the RSA.
Yeah.
Which you can do.
Yeah.
So temporarily leave it, or you want to
I would say let's go for it.
You want to hope to add some faith in the manager and move forward, or do you want to?
Well, changing the RSA is a state law, right?
It's a state, that's statute.
Statute.
Yeah. It's so just not going to happen tomorrow.
We have to talk to our representative, see if we're within the window.
The earliest opportunity is next year.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Okay. So let's think about it until January.
Okay.
Okay.
A brief update on Daniel Webster College. Where we are now, where we may not be much longer, and we're out scouting where we're going to be very soon, because this place is going to get locked up. I spoke with one of the attorneys this past week. Believe it or not, the court has come to a conclusion that this is a very, very complex case, and they need more time. So they are approaching all the parties for an extension, and they came to us asking for a 120-day extension, and we agreed to a 90-day extension. There was no logical reason why we would disagree. We wouldn't gain anything on it. There is some movement on the part of the broker who is responsible for disposing of the property to divorce the airfield side from here, because this, there apparently is no longer any interest in this becoming a university. The two organizations that originally thought so have backed up and are not as enthusiastic as they thought. There are some asbestos issues here that they would rather not have to deal with, and I don't have any information to change what it could be, condos or what have you. But the potential buyer for this would not necessarily be interested in the potential buyer for the buildings that are on the airport. They include Hangar 85, the Aviation Center, which is the base for the tower, and the a piece of land. I'm about to initiate some conversation with New Hampshire DOT to ensure that on the 30th of April, when the buildings are locked, the Aviation Center is not, so that we have access to the tower, so that we can get the airport open. I don't see that as a problem. There's a little bit of logistics that's involved, but yes, sir.
I do not know what their lease says, but I can tell you that our lease says that when the lease is ended, we have to remove the building. Or we abandon the building.
And we own it.
And yeah. So I hope that if their lease says the same thing, that the bankruptcy judge understands that. Who knows, perhaps the Aviation Center becomes owned by the airport.
Perhaps. We can hope.
I've got a question for you, but do we have their lease handy? Have we read it? I don't think I've read it personally.
The lease?
No, the lease.
Oh, I have it right here.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Does it have the language of West Recruits?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Yeah. So what, they're walking away from the lease the 1st of June?
Yeah, well, they're not walking away from it. They've thrown it to the court like in the normal bankruptcy. So the court really owns the building. They're not going to be paying us the rent, though, but they're...
Yeah, they have to pay the rent.
As they said, it's a very, very complicated thing.
So, yeah, and I've been poking at people at the college about, you know, where we will meet in May for our monthly meeting, because it's like ITT controls the property through the end of May, and when I asked about that, they said, well, the deal is they're going to start closing the campus immediately after the commencement ceremony ends, and that will occur, you know, before our May public meeting. So the answer to me was no, we can't have this room. At least as of now, we cannot have this room for our May meeting. we'll have to find a different accommodation.
Well, we do have, you know, we have a lot of places at the airport we can have. We can talk to Mary Parker.
It's on the board of things to do.
Yeah.
So we'll talk to Mary, and I'm sure she'll find a spot for us to meet it. Accessible to all.
Also, Hangar 85 is also housing the Civil Air Patrol planes. So, is the court going to say vacate the hangar? We don't know. It's a lot of questions.
Rick Bartle, for the record, I'd love to hear what they said as to my airplanes are in there as well. So, please keep me posted.
Talk to Mary Parker.
I'll just write it down.
Not much else. Thanks to everybody. We've got we're on the other side of the hump now, I think. I hope. That's right. That's all I got. Thank you.
Ms. Sandy?
I'm like the Doom Reaper again. I'm sorry about that. Al Dupree. I don't know how many of you know Al. An older gentleman, wonderful guy, flew here forever and ever. He passed away recently. I'm not sure what his services are. Originally, they were going to be this weekend, but they have changed. I'm not sure of the exact times. He flew a lot with Mikey Coleman, and his wife was around a lot flying with him. And also, Mike Dunn, his mom passed away recently. He has a warrior, right? A warrior? Is that what he's called? On the field. So if you see him, make sure you offer condolences to him. And again, I don't have any word on the services for that. I would also like to congratulate Mayor Donches. I saw a little picture of his little newest grandson, I guess, Ajax, online. Awfully cute. So congratulations to him. And the Future Beating Spot is the only other thing I was going to inform
about. Can we get in the restaurant?
I'm sorry?
Can we fit in the restaurant?
You can fit in the restaurant, yeah. Just some of you can't come.
So wait a minute, Wes. Wouldn't you be the first person to point out that that's ADA? Not ADA compliant?
Yeah, it's not ADA compliant. That's right. I think it'll have to be in one of the hangars. I think we can do that, right? One of the hangars would be, if that's...
Who's concerned the greatest?
Yeah. Which is okay. You're not going to sing, are you?
No. do we need to do anything on the lease? Do we need to vote on the lease extension?
We need to talk about that non-public.
Non-public, okay. Thank you all for coming. Thank you all for your input. This has been very helpful.
I'd like to make a motion to adjourn to non-public session to discuss personnel and
leases.
I'll second that motion.
Roll call.
Chairman Rutherford, yes.
Yes.
You can't
get it. Yes.
Chairman Rutherford, okay. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
I'm going to go to the next one.